Well, the breakup that caught the headlines this week was the fallout between rugby legend Brian O'Driscoll and his ghostwriter, sports journalist Paul Kimmage. For 2 years, Paul Kimmage had been working with Brian O'Driscoll on his autobiography. That all came to a sudden halt on Wednesday, however, when the journalist and author announced that he quit. Now, we're joined now by two men who know a good deal about how the world of the pen for hire works. Eddie Rowley is the showbiz editor with the Sunday World newspaper, and he has been a ghostwriter for Ronan Keating, Daniel O'Donnell and Mary Byrne. And novelist Brian Finnegan is so ghostly about the ghostwriting that he's done that he can't even divulge whose autobiographies he's written. Seriously, Brian, is it really that secretive a world?
Yeah, you sign up at the very beginning to say that you're not going to say who it is. So and the people that I've written for don't want it to be known that their books have been ghostwritten. So,
and are there many of them?
Are there many
that you would have worked with?
Well, the ones that I've done, you know, I've done two. So the two ghosts that I've done, they've clearly not.
And they're out there. And your name is nowhere near the book. Nobody knows that you're the person.
Somewhere in the acknowledgements.
In the acknowledgements. Yeah. You have to look fairly carefully. Eddie Rowley, of course, you're not so secretive about your ones.
No, and the people I've worked with were quite happy that I would be associated with them as the writer of the book.
How did you get involved?
Well, I got involved initially because I was editing Daniel O'Donnell's column in the Sunday World, and I got to know Daniel. And then
when you say I was editing Daniel O'Donnell's column, because I'm always amazed at all of these columns that some of these people do. Does that mean you were writing it?
Well, I was writing it insofar as
ghostwriting.
I was ghostwriting. Daniel would contact me every week and give me the rundown of what was going into the column, and then I would put it together for him. But Daniel had 100% of an input into it.
Okay, so you were writing that.
Writing and editing that, George.
And editing that, sorry.
Yeah. And so I built up a relationship with Daniel, and then a publisher approached Daniel, and Daniel's manager, and then Daniel's manager came to me and said, look, we have this offer of a book. Would you be interested in working with Daniel on it? And I'd built up a great relationship with Daniel, and I knew that there was a great story to be told there. So I was quite happy to work with Daniel.
And what about you, Brian? How did you get involved?
I accidentally fell into it.
Yeah,
I had interviewed this first celebrity that I did for a magazine, and a friend of mine who's an editor for Hachette Books phoned me looking for her number, and I said, oh, I'll do that book. And as it turned out, I did that book. So it was, you know, it was just a kind of an impromptu nixer for me.
Not a bad nixer, but it does make me wonder, is the relationship, the key relationship, if you're going to go into this ghostwriting business, is the key relationship your relationship with the publisher? So, you know, the person who says, we're looking for somebody to write a book for this celebrity or that well-known person, that they pick who they might put in front of this celebrity.
They want somebody who can relate to somebody else. Like, there has to be you have to be able to speak to somebody and get them to talk, communicate and tell the depths of their experience to you. So you have to be a certain kind of person. So the publisher wouldn't want somebody who's bad at communication. A lot of writers are very, you know, they spend a lot of time by themselves. They don't communicate a huge amount. So you need somebody who's a good talker and who can get things out of people, for sure. So they would match, you know, those kind of people up with the people they need to.
I suppose it could be tricky at times, Eddie. I mean, you might actually think that you get on well with this person and could do the book, but when you get in listening to them for hours and hours and hours, it could be very exciting, very interesting. It might not be, but maybe you mightn't end up really liking each other that much. But does it get tense?
I haven't had that experience.
It must have got tense in the case this week or something. Otherwise,
this week, yeah. I don't know the full story there, but that's been going on for 2 years. And the astonishing thing that I read about Paul Kimmage was that he had transcribed 600,000 words.
Yeah, it's a lot of
which
work.
Is about 10 books, and right. and has walked away from it. I've no idea. And if it doesn't work out with Brian and the new writer, Brian, give me your call. I'd be very happy to work with Brian O'Driscoll.
Never mind the ad, but you could actually get the wrong subject person. It mightn't work.
Yeah, no, you have to establish a relationship with the person you're working with. You have to get on with the person you're working with, and there has to be trust as well, because they are opening up their lives, warts and all, to you. Now, all the warts might not appear in the book at the end of the day, but they have to tell you everything. And then you sit down at the end of it all and say, OK, you don't want this in, but it's a really good story. there is another way of doing this and we can work with this. And so you know, you work together. You have to work together. So you really have to love the person. You have to really love each other, because there can be friction. But the main thing is trust. There has to be trust between the writer, the subject matter, the subject, and the writer.
And of course, at the end, the person who gets all the glory is the subject matter. From your point of view, it is the celebrity, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. But that's what you sign up for. I mean, it's a very clear contract at the beginning. You're doing a job and you know that's going to be it at the end of the day. There is a part of it, the second book that I did got a full page review in the Sunday Times, and the writing was called Beautifully Lyrical. And, you know, it's hard to see that, you know, because you're thinking, well, I want that review for myself.
Why I'm not getting the credit for it.
Yeah,
which makes me wonder, in terms of what you get out of it, is there much money in it being a ghostwriter?
Well, we call it an elixir. You know, I have a day job, and so it's some extra money into my bank account.
Would you get paid according to the...
You know, unless you're like writing for David Beckham, you know, you're not going to be really earning a living out of it.
Is it usually a fixed amount of money?
It's a fixed amount of money.
So you could sell 500,000 copies or you could sell 50. You get the same amount.
You don't get royalties.
Well, it does vary. You can do different deals. And I have done different deals through the years. And the money varies according to the advance. I mean, if you're working with somebody like Ronan Keating, and that was a big British deal, and that was quite a substantial amount of money that he got in advance for that book, and it was ended up being a number two bestseller in the UK after Sir Terry Wogan. So there was quite a lot of money involved. That was a flat fee, but I have done deals where I've got a certain amount of money up front and a cut of the royalties as well. So it varies basically.
What about the relationship afterwards, Brian? Because you've been listening to this person, maybe they were a friend once, or maybe they weren't a friend once, maybe they're a friend now, but you've produced the book, it's very intense, you've got all of the inside information, some of which you can't even publish, and then the book is finished and it's on the shelves and they all have a certain shelf life. I mean, what happens with your relationship afterwards? Is that the end of it?
I think it goes, it's a relationship of stages. You know, at the beginning, there's, you know, you're getting the person to trust you enough to tell you their whole story, to tell you everything, the warts and all story. And then once that trust thing is there, you go into a love-in where you both love each other and you're really interested in that person. They're really interested in you being interested in them because you're asking them all the right questions. You know, how did you feel about that? It's not like, excuse me, like an ordinary interview. So it's a long, long interview. And then you write the book, and then you go through the process where you have to kill your darlings, you know, the stories that you love that are in there that they don't want in there. And so you're grappling that kind of process of where you're grappling with each other for, you know, what the book is going to be. And then you move on, you break up and you move on. And it's not like a real deep friendship, although it feels like that for a period of time during the process. But, you know, you stay in touch, you know, but it's not like it's going to be a great friendship. For me anyway, in my experience, the great friendship of your life.
Do you break up as well, Eddie? Is that what happens?
Well, Mary Byrne said if I didn't have a wife already that she would marry me. So we're very, very good
friends.
Just because
you saw how much money you earned from it or something like that. I was very interested recently when Roddy Doyle decided that he would write Roy Keane's book. Now, I presume, it is ghostwriting, but I presume Roddy's name will probably be on the book. Did that surprise you? Does that bring it to a different level, the whole business of ghostwriting?
Absolutely, because you wouldn't have put Roddy Doyle into that sphere of sport, and you wouldn't have put those two characters together. But I'd say it's the perfect combination for a bestseller, because it comes from two different strands and two different markets, and you know, it's going to be quite interesting. Couldn't be better timing as well with Roy back in Ireland.
Amazing. I'd say Roddy will get great material for
absolutely
a new novel or something very funny in the years to come from that. We better leave it there. Brian Finnegan and Eddie Rowley, thank you both very much indeed, and good luck with the ghostwriting and other things too. Well, that is all we have time for this week. You can listen back to the programme or download a podcast anytime by going to our webpage, rte.ie/thebusiness, or to the RTE radio player, which you'll find on rte.ie/radio. We'll be back again at the same time next week. Until then, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye. The Business on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Electric Ireland, providing excellent customer service for our growing SME sector.
And The Business with George Lee is an Old Yard production for RTE Radio 1.